I don't know if you've noticed, but the devotionals that I've been doing lately have been kind of going along with the Bible sequentially, and there's a reason for that. I decided at the beginning of the year that the devotionals that I would do this year would be part of the reading the daily reading that Victoria and I had the night before. And so last night we read Exodus chapter 22 through 24. We're getting into the fun part of Exodus, but there's one scripture that really stood out to me, and it's a passage that we've looked at before, but this particular one that stood out is Exodus chapter 22 and verse 28. Let's turn there. Exodus 22 and verse 28. It's very short, but it helps us, especially this year. It says, "You shall not revile God, nor curse a ruler of your people." And, you know, it's a highly charged topic, the topic of politics. And I try to avoid politics from the pulpit because, it's a divisive issue. And really, the Bible does not tell us who to vote for. It doesn't say you must vote for this person or this party or this, that, or the other. But there are some issues, of course, that some political parties and politicians have that are scriptural, that are based on the Bible, have taken that and turned it into a political issue. So the only thing that I can do is speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. I can't tell you who to vote for, but I can tell you what the Bible says on certain issues that the politicians are debating about and talking about and passing into laws and allowing or not allowing, things of that nature. And I can show you book, chapter, and verse for some of the things that I hold to. But a lot of that does boil down to opinion. And we should not allow such politics to divide us. We are the body of Christ. We are people who need to be focused on the Great Commission. There is a greater goal here than who wins the White House, who wins the Senate seat, who wins in the House, this, that, or the other. Especially lately, if you're keeping up with the news at all, we've got the whole impeachment thing going on and the impeachment trial. Now, whether you agree with that or not, it's happening. And it's parts of rule. I mean, the president is not the ruler of our nation, but he is a ruler of our nation. We have the Senate, who's also a ruler, and the House. So those are co-equal branches that are going at it. So it's not that, I don't want to get into that too much. My point is that we should not be cursing rulers, leaders in our nation. And there are a couple reasons for that. One, some of the ones that I've already talked about. It's a divisive issue. It's not something that we need to bring up at every opportunity because, again, the scriptures don't speak as to specific candidates. But it does speak as to certain issues, and we can talk about that all day. In fact, I have some sermons in mind coming up about some of those topics. But right now, there's another reason, too, and that is in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. So why don't we turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 10? And you might think, first off, that this passage is not in the New Testament. That's the Old Testament. Oh, we can curse rulers of our nation, of our people now. No, that's not what it says. That is the Old Testament, but it's repeated in Acts chapter 23 when Paul is before the high priest. And he says, I'm sorry, I didn't know he was the high priest, for the scriptures say, don't curse a ruler or don't speak evil of a ruler of your nation. So that is still something that we should abide by today. And in fact, 1 Peter tells us to honor the king. Now, we don't have a king, right? But we have a president. We have senators. We have things of that nature. We need to give them the honor that they are due. And of course, think about all the politics that you read about in the scripture. There are some good kings and some terrible kings in the Bible. Some good rulers and some terrible rulers. they were still told to honor the king. They were still told not to curse a ruler of their nation. And one of those reasons is in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 22. It says, "Do not curse the king, even in your thought. Do not curse the rich, even in your bedroom, for a bird of the air may carry your voice, and a bird in flight may tell the matter." So there are a couple reasons for that, of course, a couple things that we can glean from this. People who are rich and powerful and leaders of nations, they can really do you some damage if they hear that you've said some negative things about you. If you've said some negative things about them. But one of the great things about this nation that may be different from other nations is we have freedom of speech. While that's a blessing, it's also a bit of a curse. And there are a lot of things we can go in on that. But I love the fact that we have the freedom of speech. We can, if we want, curse a ruler of our nation without incurring the wrath of our leaders. That's an amazing thing. That's perhaps fairly unique in world history, that we have that ability, and no one's going to come and get us, and we don't have to worry about that at all. Even prominent people can do that. Does that mean we still have the right in God's eyes to curse a ruler of our nation? Certainly not. That goes for President Trump. That goes for President Obama. That goes for President Bush. And I can go on back to all 45 of them. That also goes to our senators and to our representatives. Let us not curse rulers of our nation. Let us not speak evil of them. Let us pray for them. Because they have a rough job. Let us pray that they will lead the country in a way that he wants it to go. Sam likes to point out a passage in Daniel 4 that God raises kings and brings down kings. And that's true. God is ultimately in control. He set them up. I had a kid in a class one time, and I was when Trump was getting elected, and I told him, don't speak evil of a ruler of your nation. He said, well, and then I pointed, I couldn't think of where the passage was. So I pointed to Romans chapter 13, because I knew where that was. Romans 13 tells us to be, and I read that this morning, to be in subject to the rulers in your nation, to the civil authorities. For he sets them up, he places them there. And he's like, how is that possible? We had a vote. We did that. You're not looking at the big picture. The big picture is God is ultimately in control. You could say that about Nebuchadnezzar, about all the other kings and rulers of the past. Oh, well, this happened and this happened. You could study history and say, this is what ruler did to this, and this is how these rulers came to power, and these how these rulers came. Ultimately, it was all God. And that goes for this, that's the same for the rulers of this nation. Regardless of who you think should win in November or in March, we got the primary coming up, whoever you think should win, God is in control. And I thank God for that. This evening, is God in control of your life? Is God in control of your life? And I pray that he is. Because if he is, then that means you will have obeyed the gospel. And what that means, to obey the gospel, you know that phrase is found three times in Scripture, to obey the gospel. And what we find that it means is to do what the Lord says to do to be saved. And we can see what, now that's not earning your salvation, that's just doing, I mean, you can't, if you commit murder, if you do what's necessary to be saved, it doesn't make that murder go away. You don't earn your salvation from that. You don't, but you do have your sins washed away in his blood. And you can believe in his name, repent of your sins, confess his name, and be baptized. Our baptistry is right over there. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Have your sins washed away. That is what the Lord wants us to do. That's how we obey the gospel. When we are buried with him in baptism, we have been raised to walk in newness of life, Romans chapter 6, 3 and 4. That is just like when he was buried, we are buried. When he was buried in the ground, we are buried in the water. When he comes up, when he arises out of the tomb, we arise out of the water. Our sins washed away. That is where we contact the blood of Christ. If you need to obey the gospel this evening, you have that chance. If you need to make things right with God, you know, I don't know what's going on in your lives necessarily. Some, of course, but not. I don't know what's going on with everybody. And so if you need to make things right with God this evening, you have that chance. Please come forward. If you have a need, come forward as we stand and as we sing this song.